Next we'll have Daniel Kruger, who's a research scientist. Okay, that's yours. He's a research scientist at the Prevention Research Center of Michigan. He's the lead evaluator for the Genesee County REACH Infant Mortality Reduction Program.
Hello, and thank you for joining us on the lunch hour during the last day of the conference. I hope to suitably entertain you. We have no financial disclosures, and our project is in Genesee County, Michigan, home of General Motors, and the socioeconomic trends and health outcomes have been largely tied to the rise and decline of the American automotive industry. At one point, early in the 20th century, Flint actually had the highest per capita income in the state of Michigan because GM was thriving. But since about 1970, the number of GM jobs has gone from about 80,000 to about 14,000, and that's really had a devastating impact on the community. So it's part of the larger context that we're operating in. But specifically, our focus is on infant mortality. And you can see the infant mortality for whites or European American infants and the stark contrast with those African American or black infants. And these are really the two main population groups in Genesee County. Because of the population decline since 1970, we really haven't had in-migration from other areas. It's mostly been out-migration, the population. So, we're taking an approach where we're thinking outside of the box, a combination of perspectives, including strong involvement and direction from our community-based partners. You can see that we have partners that reach across the spectrum from the health department, local universities, the School of Public Health, and the University of Michigan campus on Flint, and many of the people in the health sector in the county, as well as grassroots community-based organizations. And our community action plan is derived from these two points of view, the bench and the trench. The bench knowledge, these racial disparities in infant mortality have persisted despite at least two decades of applied contributions. And, this is something that we believe that this work has been valuable, but at the same time, it really hasn't eliminated the disparity. And, we might explain this in the sense that no single intervention is likely to eliminate these racial disparities in infant mortality. And also, the period of pregnancy is just too short to effectively address many of the risk factors important to infant health. You might have heard of this this lifespan model or the life course model, which to me just sounded like common sense. I mean, you can't just take a woman who's pregnant and say, okay, well, for 20 years, you've faced this adversity, you've had all these risk factors and problems, but now we're going to give you folic acid and make you all better. Has to be really, life course approach. And then, of course, from the trench, our community partners say, well, listen, if you're just doing the same thing over and over again, guess what you're going to get? So they're recognizing the need for a different approach there. And the approach that we take is based in the socio-ecological model, looking at multiple levels of influence and intervention, everything from the individual level, up through the family structure, the social environment, the healthcare sector, and then also, larger aspects of the community and even larger areas of policy. So our model in the REACH 2010 program for improving maternal infant health is based in three interrelated components. Enhancing the baby care system, so systems-level interventions, fostering community mobilization, so things that are taking place in the community, in the neighborhood, with neighborhood residents, and then reducing racism, which is the one major main focus of our community-based partners that we work with. So you can see some of the efforts that we're using. Here's a community media campaign. A lot of people really weren't aware of the disparities in infant mortality rates. Even people who worked in the medical system were surprised that the disparity rates were so high. We've had community dialogue groups that have emerging working groups, Black Men for Social Change, and women taking charge of their health destiny, that you know, are now conducting activities, and actually now these groups have sort of taken a life of their own. They're now internally motivated and doing things you know, with encouragement and support, but you know, certainly you know, with their own ideas and motivations. And then also they've implemented community van tours. Flint has a teaching hospital, Hurley, where there are medical residents who come in from all around the world, really. You know, it's one of these underserved areas where people who have, you know, the special type of visas can work. So we have people from, you know, South Asia, you know, from East Asia, from South America, you know, all over the world, and they're coming to Flint and really don't know the community context. I mean, they don't really know the history or the background. And it's understandable. I mean, they're probably working 16 hours a day in their medical residency. But by giving them, you know, basically taking them around the community and showing them both the challenges that local community residents face and the neighborhood context, along with the assets that are there, you know, we do emphasize and highlight the positive aspects of the community, they can have a better understanding of their patients and have more of a context for interaction when they're, you know, traditionally just thinking, well, why isn't this person showing up for their appointments? You know, now they realize it's not always that simple. Also, enhancing the baby care system, they've implemented several changes in the health sector. There's perinatal mortality and morbidity reviews. There's the femur linkage and shared data. The use of the PRAT, the prenatal risk assessment tool, and a lot of safe sleep type campaigns, face up to wake up, always alone in a crib of their own. These are names that local people coined, you know, to increase our cultural competence. You know, something that you know, they think would sound, you know, sort of less institutional. And we've seen a decline in infant mortality that have been related to unsafe sleep conditions. Also, the University of Michigan has a campus in Flint, and they have, you know, College of Health Services, and now this college is implementing a lot of, you know, programs, oftentimes, you know, taught or supported by some of our community-based activist partners, cultural competency training, you know, a lot of communication programs, and, you know, we're seeing more interesting things coming out of this work. Also, reducing racism. This is a, you know, very large component of the program. Undoing racism workshops that were conducted by people from the People's Institute for Survival and Beyond, based in New Orleans. And this brought in a lot of people, mainly from the healthcare sector, actually. And also the African Culture Education and Developmental Center. This teaches about African history and culture. There's a Middle Passage experience that simulates, you know, the Middle Passage, which is actually quite intense. You know, I've been through it, and it's you know, quite an intense experience. And we're pleased to say that now our Reach 2010 program has transmogrified into the Reach Us program. This is now, you know, we're now a center for excellence in eliminating disparities. So we've sort of moved on. We're moving on to the next phase of operation, which is disseminating our findings, and then providing technical assistance to encourage replication in other communities. Okay, so you saw this is a really diverse intervention. We have everything from one-on-one peer counselors who are working with pregnant women through changes in the medical system to, you know, cultural education. So how do you evaluate something like this? You know, as a researcher evaluator, that's my challenge. So we have an evaluation that's designed to assess the process, you know, documenting the activities and the outputs, the outcomes, changes in systems and individuals, as well as the impact, the changes in the African-American infant mortality rate and the disparities with the white infant mortality rates. So here's our logic model. This will be on the test at the end of the conference. But, you know, we developed this evaluation plan to cover all the different outcomes that we've you know, focused on, both the intermediate outcomes and the long-term outcomes, as well as covering some of the process. So you can see here we're documenting, you know, just these are just counts of activities. We have counts of participants in each And we also have what we call the Racism and Health Disparity Survey. This was a telephone survey that was conducted by the Michigan Public Health Institute, which is a professional nonprofit health research firm in Michigan. And this survey assessed experiences of racism, responses to the experiences of racism, perceptions of the healthcare system, relationships with partners, and health and birth outcomes. And you know, we focused on REACH participants, so those people who are participants in the REACH programs. And we also had two comparison samples, one from the general community in Genesee County that was randomly selected, and a sample from neighboring Saginaw County, which sociodemographically is very similar to Genesee County, but it has a smaller population. So, and you can see the survey sample, you know, is diverse, but there are, you know, very strong representation by African Americans. If you look at the educational attainment, you'll notice that in the REACH sample, we have a lot of people with really high educational attainment. And this is a result of the number of people from the healthcare sector who have participated in undoing racism activities. You know, so these are administrators, doctors, you know, high-level staff. And because we do see this you know, significant difference in educational attainment, all the analyses I show you after this, I'm going to control for educational attainment, so that's not what's driving the findings. So looking at attitudes, beliefs, and knowledge regarding racism, you know, here you can see stronger agreement in the REACH sample that racism, you know, still exists in our society. And those little error bars, that's the 95% confidence interval. So you can see that, you know, these are different than the community samples. Greater agreement that even today, blacks feel the effects of slavery and segregation. And then here, look at this. How much do you think racism affects the lives of people in your racial or ethnic group? So African Americans in the REACH program are actually more likely to agree with this. They feel more strongly about this. And what's interesting, it might be difficult to tell here, but European Americans actually, in the REACH program, actually see racism affecting their lives less than in the community samples, which is kind of what you would predict from the content of the workshops that people are going through. And also the REACH participants are more sensitive to actual experiences of racial discrimination. Beliefs regarding racism in healthcare. You can see that the REACH sample is less likely to believe that healthcare is equitable, that blacks and whites receive the same quality of care, and that blacks and whites are treated with the same level of dignity and respect. And here is just a very quick tour through some vital statistics that we've been compiling. So, you know, some of you came here specifically for this, so I'll be glad to show you. Here are the trends in the average month of pregnancy that prenatal care began. So you can see a nice trend towards the end of the program. The average number of prenatal care visits was already high, which is good, but it seems to be increasing slightly. And then if you look at the Kessner Index, that has been improving. We also do the Kottlechuk, in case you're fans of the Kottlechuk, and it's showing the similar pattern. And then, of course, perinatal health outcomes. You can see that in the past few years, the average weeks of gestation among African Americans has increased, and the proportion of premature births has decreased. Okay. Birth weight hasn't shown so much of a change as gestation, but we do see the proportion of low birth weight has declined in recent years. And of course, the all important or most important indicator here, if you look at African American infant mortality rates by county, you can see since 2003, we've seen a really dramatic decline in the African American infant mortality rate. And you can see here the communities here, Genesee County, where the intervention took place, and these four other counties, Saginaw, Berrien, Oakland, and Wayne, these are all the other counties in the state of Michigan that have a substantial proportion of African Americans. So you can see that no other county has this happen. Okay, so also go back to the social determinants of health. What if this is just a result of changing conditions in the community? You know, what if it's not really due to our program, but overall the rising tide is lifting all boats or something? Well, if you look at the sociodemographic trends, you can see that the proportion of births to teenage mothers has actually increased. The percent of births to unmarried African-American women has actually increased. And education is getting a little bit better. The proportion who have less than a high school degree, 25 and over, has declined, and the percentage of the bachelor's degree has gone up, but not as dramatically as the health data. And also, if you look at the percentage of African-Americans with income below the poverty line, it's really been stable. There's an uptick in 2004, but it's really been stable for most of the time. And then possibly the most important contrast, we calculated the mortality rates for African-Americans age 5 and above. And you can see here that in Genesee County, that's actually been increasing over the past few years in real contrast to the infant mortality rate. So you can see this dramatic difference between infant mortality and then those who are above the infant age range. Okay, so we really don't think that these positive trends can be explained by changes in the socioeconomic conditions. So we see these positive outcomes, which encourage us to continue our activities in Genesee County, and then also share our experiences and provide technical assistance to folks in other communities who would like to have similar impact. So here's our contact information, and we'll be glad to hear from you. Thank you.